In this weekly study of the wonderful great scripture Bhagavad Gita, which brings the divine message in a universal and scientific rational way to all of us, we have been seeing that how the purpose of human life is very beautifully stated with psychological penetration into the depths of our being, and finding out how the remedy needs to be applied to make us go right on the path, removing all the obstacles on the way. Like in every endeavor, we have to use techniques here. The words science and technology are very familiar. The science brings us the knowledge of how things work, and technology makes it applicable in our life. So here too we need science and technology, the understanding of the principles and how one can apply them in day-to-day life using certain important tools. The tools are various depending on what at a given point we want to achieve or do with it. The tool that is being discussed in the 9th chapter, in fact the discussion started from the 7th chapter, of how to love God, directing our emotions to their true source. The love, we have the feeling of love inborn in us. It need not be imported. We all know how to love. In fact, it is so spontaneous. The idea is that yes, the love happens. It is really not that we consciously think that let me love, but it happens. And also, it can be consciously cultivated and directed too. And here, why it is told to direct it to God, the God who is the goal of life, God, as has been discussed here, is not to be conceived only as sitting somewhere in the heaven and then directing the affairs of this world as a governor. That is just one aspect of it. Not that it is wrong, but it has to be coupled with the God that is our indwelling reality. That is the most important concept that Vedanta tells, that God is not far away somewhere. Don't get that sense of, you know, separation and so impossibility of seeing God. The impossibility is conveyed through this idea, sitting somewhere far, and therefore the existence is doubted also. Who knows where he is sitting and whether he is watching me or not? It is and how can he watch all of us? It is difficult to conceive. Even if I am praying, how the prayers can reach such God? I am not sure whether his ears are sharp enough to hear my prayers. And maybe he has been there for such a long time. Even a person aging here gets hearing problem. By now probably the God has lost hearing. So how, what is the use of praying to such a God? Many get such ideas. But Therefore, the idea is to be developed that God is our indwelling reality. Not that God is not outside, but primarily the way to feel that God is inside. And therefore, the word we use is Paramatma. Paramatma means our innermost being, our innermost self. Atma means self, but this Paramatma means the supreme, innermost and self of all. Ordinarily, when we think of self, we feel that the self of Charles would be different from self of Ram, would be different from self of Jit, will have a completely different dimension in the Bridget sitting in the end. So it is all different selves, but they are really not different. If we go a little deeper, we realize that the selves are not different at all. So the Supreme Self, the beautiful analogy given many times in Vedanta is that the self that is like the sun. When you have, say, hundreds of pots filled with water kept under the blazing sun. Now each of those pots will have a reflection of sun there. So the sun in this pot and sun in other pot will appear different. If the water in one pot is say murky, the sun in that pot also will be felt as murky. If the water in one pot is disturbed, then the sun also there will seem to be breaking. If it is wavy, the sun also will seem to be dancing. But are those suns really different? They appear different, but they are all reflections of the sun that is above in the skies. That sun in the sky is reflected in so many pots. So just think, this is analogy for understanding. It need not be stretched too much. It is like we are all similar to the pots. Our personalities are pots. And the self is reflected in each pot. So it appears differently. And also this analogy can be understood to get this, solve this problem that where is this self? The biologists, neurologists, they try to find out the self, dissecting it. I feel it in my body. There is something that is the center of consciousness. Let me discover it. Let me dissect, go on dissecting where it is. And since they don't discover, they don't find, they say there is nothing like that. It is just the activity in the brain that generates the illusion of consciousness. This attempt is very similar to try to catch the sun by putting your hand in the water pot. Let me catch the sun from there. Will you ever be able to catch it? You will always touch water only, not the sun. Because although sun appears there, you see it there, it is not there. It is. That is the supreme sun. And these are the reflected suns. So similarly, here we all see the reflected self. And so it appears different. But really the supreme self is the one and the same. So that self is the reality of all selves. All appearances, they depend on the reality, the truth. So, like all shadows, you project light on anything from different angles, it will produce different shadows. They are shadows. You cannot catch them, but you can catch the thing, hold the thing. When you hold that thing, then you will see all shadows also get caught. So, this is the reality that needs to be felt and experienced. And that is why the love is to be directed towards that. Last lecture we were seeing in our last class that yes, people run after the shadows, the appearances. And so just waste their life running after the false, unreal hopes. What is more practical, friends? Running after something that is real, that is, or something that is an appearance and non-existent. It is obviously, nobody will say that running after appearances is practical. But in fact, most of us waste the whole life running after appearances. Something appears. Yes. Very alluring. The appearances are very alluring. That let me become a millionaire or a billionaire, and then you run after that. You may end up becoming a millionaire and a billionaire, but does that satiate your thirst for more? It does not. It keeps on making you run. Keeps on making you the A goal seems to be always running ahead of you and you are chasing it, like chasing a mirage. You go on chasing. The water appears to be right there and you go on running after it, never getting it. The faster you run, the faster that water also starts running and you never get it. Many times I have seen a funny thing. I don't know if any of you have noticed or not, that a dog is seeing that shadow of the tail, its own tail, you know, and then trying to catch it. It never becomes successful in that. It plays a lot with it and gets ultimately tired. That to catch the shadow, you cannot catch it. Now you see it in the mirror, especially in India where the windows are left windows and doors also are left wide open. The little sparrows, they come and go inside the house, come always, and they see their reflection in the mirrors. And they want to as if meet the other sparrow and go on hitting the mirrors. They sit as if they are just very close to the next sparrow, but cannot get it. So, therefore, Lord calls them moghasha, mogh karma, futile. Mogh means futile. The futile hopes and the futile actions to realize those futile hopes. That is how the life of an ignorant person, the person who is not clear about the goal and the way, that person wastes life like that. But then the next verse, that is the 13th verse in this 9th chapter, Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantyananya manaso Nyatva bhutadim avyayam. But the great souled ones, taking to the divine nature, O Partha, worship me with one-pointed devotion, knowing me to be the cause of all beings and immutable. The one who is now aware of this illusory nature of all these hopes, knows God to be the reality of all appearances. And that is Lord is saying there to Arjuna, me. Now this I that God speaks of here is not a limited I, not the way that we use this word, but the way that you can see a person who sees that the sun in the sky is the my self too. That is in reality myself. So now that is the divine awareness. So Lord's awareness of I is the all-pervading I. So he is referring to that. So a person who has now changed his direction, he is being called the great-souled, the Mahatmanah. This is now not an exact or very good translation, but probably it is difficult to translate this word in this particular context exactly. The one who is has a pure mind now, this a mist of confusion is cleared and can see that the my life is going to be fulfilled by directing it to God. That person is called here a great soul. So any person who has this feel that this all-pervading divine, my reality, the source of all existence, that is the what I should concentrate on, the life changes, you know. It is analogous to this, that suppose you are driving in the wrong direction, driving fast, and then you start getting doubts after some time that probably you are not on the right path, you are probably going in the wrong direction. And after driving a few miles, maybe you get the idea that if the ego is very strong, you still don't like to stop. You still want to go ahead. But if the ego is subdued, you feel, well, before going too far, let me ask this gas station or this store here that whether this is the right path. You stop and ask. There is a story that a priest got a call that there is the funeral to be performed, that burial is going to be at this place. Can you come and say a prayer for this man? He was member of your church. So this priest decided to take the call and said, yes, yes, I will be there. And he took the address, and they were not the days of GPS, and thought that, okay, I got it, and then started driving there, but could not really find, and because there is that ego, did not even bother to ask, stop and ask. And the religious teachers, you know, they have the a problem with big ego, and that, oh, I am teacher, you know, so I know everything. It is. So, goes on driving, and after about an hour or so, more than, you know, that the time that was given was passed, and after an hour past the scheduled time, he finds the place and feels relieved that everything is not still done. The relatives seem to have gone, but the workers were still putting the soil and all there. And so he decided to do his prayers. He did prayers and then started giving a sermon, called all the workers and gave a sermon about the grace of God and all. And he thought that he has performed his duty. And as he was getting into his car, he heard one of the workers saying that, oh my goodness, never in my life I have seen such a thing. and I am in this safety tank business for last 20 years. So, the fellow had ended at a wrong place. It is, and thought that it is the, that is the place. So, people go like that, that it is, because they don't stop. Go headlong, confirmed in their mistake. So, but sometimes you feel after a lot of attempts that no, probably I should stop and ask somebody, it seems I am mistaken, I need to get advice. So you stop and ask, is this the right way? And you will be told maybe that, oh, you are going in exactly opposite direction. You just go reverse and start going. After so many miles, you will get to the right place. Now, the whole course of life changes. And that is what is the Mahatmanah, the great-souled person. Running, instead of running towards the illusions, this person starts running after the truth. Running after illusion, illusions, they are illusions, just will make you run and run and run without getting anything. But if you turn the direction, start running in the right direction, what will happen? The whole thing will change. Now you will start seeing the signs also. Hey, yes, this was what was told, that I will be seeing a CVS there, or some such familiar signs will be seen. So similarly, when you start running in the right direction, Godwards, the signs will start appearing in life. The personality will feel more peaceful, more happy, more composed. Lot more love will start coming in life. The anger and such things will be slowly banished from your personality. This actually happens, friends. I have seen it happening in so many people's lives. It is because now they are going in the right directions. So what they do there, that they then, when they see these signs, bhajanti ananya manaso, now they feel more and more convinced that this is the right direction, this is the right path, they are going to surely reach the destination. So they, all the other concerns are thrown away from the mind, and single-mindedly now they pursue with their journey. That is what happens in a devotee's life. The emotions are all now directed towards this goal of life, instead of wasting them to please this person or that person, to be in the good books of this fellow or that fellow, or just spontaneously, instinctively pouring love on some sense objects or persons, that devotee now conscientiously turns this wheel of love towards the one goal. There is, you see, when the love is turned towards God, then that love starts growing, because it is being turned towards the real source of love. Otherwise, the love in the world has constant ups and downs. You feel love today, next moment or tomorrow, you don't feel love for the same person. As long as some of your needs and desires are fulfilled, you feel the sense of love. If they are not fulfilled, not only you don't feel the love, the anger starts wailing in your mind about it. So, with God it is very different. As I had pointed out in some other similar class, that the love for God keeps on increasing because you go towards God. Like if you are actually going towards a fragrant flower, then you will see that the fragrance is, you are feeling the fragrance more and more because you are going towards the source of that fragrance. But if you are seeing a reflection of the fragrance, that flower, and you are going towards the reflection, now the reflection is in the opposite direction. Always the reflection will have to be in the opposite direction. And so now you are not going towards the source. And so the fragrance will not be felt. So that is how the Narada, the great teacher of devotion, in his aphorisms, beautiful aphorisms on devotion, he describes this characteristic of devotion, this love to God, as different from love, so-called love, to other things in the world. That this love, pratikshana pravardhamana, bhakti or devotion, goes on increasing and increasing and increasing, because it is directed towards the proper source. So that person, he knows that God is the source of everything, and therefore when you get God, you get everything. Otherwise you do not get anything. In God everything is found. If not, then you may think that I may not get God, but I will get at least a few other things. Well, you get a few frustrations, that's all. A few, or if you choose, more of them. But that is the only difference. It is everything is contained in God. And so you get all your life fulfilled. That is how Jesus says that ye first seek the kingdom of heaven. Everything else will be added unto it. Everything else you will get if you get God. And if not, then only frustrations, nothing more can be gotten otherwise. So all more and more joy will start appearing in life, because you are coming to the source of it. That person says, Jnatva Bhutadim Avyayam, that it is not just an emotional effervescence that is passing for devotion. The devotion is very well understood here by that devotee, that in God I get everything. And that person therefore is not concerned as to what other people will say. Everything is seen in that, contained in God. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell an incident where he used to stay in Dakshineshwar. One day a holy man came. He was a wandering hermit, and he stayed there for a few days. He had a big book, a big volume, and he used to read from that book every day, but wouldn't show that book to anyone. So Sri Ramakrishna appealed to him again and again, requested him, will you please let me see this book? You are reading it every day with great devotion. And since this person also, this hermit also, was charmed by Sri Ramakrishna's love and devotion, he let Sri Ramakrishna look at it with great expectation that what will be there in that wonderful book. Sri Ramakrishna opens the book and sees that on every page, in big bold letters, the name of God, Rama, 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 that is the only thing written in the book, nothing else. On every page, only that is written. So naturally an ordinary person will not understand, will feel, what is there in that book? He did not have carried this whole book. If he could have just carried it maybe on a small slip, why he is taking this book and this whole that name? This man replied to Sri Ramakrishna that what else is there in the world but Rama? So I carried this book, all these different pages, that means the different experiences in this universe. And then each of them is the substance, what you read in each experience is God alone is the reality of it. And the person was so full of joy because of that. And you will see when you start seeing this, even a little glimpse of this, when one starts getting even a little glimpse of this, the existence of God, then the life starts getting filled with happiness. It is, if not, then you have to really bring that feeling of smile or happiness with great effort, and it is seen as if it is just a matter of artificial smile. It is the kind of smiles. Some time back, one of our friends, for the first time in his life, although he has spent his life here, he didn't think, we Rhode Islanders, you know, don't travel much always. Maximum means maybe from Warwick to this Newport, and then that we feel, it's a big journey. So it is that this man therefore went to see the that Disneyland. And was very happy afterwards, came back and told that, wow, the one thing I noticed, everybody there at every stall, people were so smiling. Behind every counter, they were flashing all the smiles. I was so happy to see the smiling faces. But then I discovered there was price for every smile, you know. There was a price tag there. So it is, yes, that kind of smile is a matter of business. So it is taught, you know, in the school where they train the people behind the counters, that welcome everybody with the smile. And so you flash that smile, even inside you may be feeling frustrated, depressed and all that. You are trained to give that smile. But this is very different from the spontaneous joy that this person starts feeling. So this is how this person's awareness that everything is contained in God. The God is the source of all these manifestations. Everything is in God and dissolves in God. It originates in God, stays in God, ends in God, like the waves rising on the ocean. They originate in the ocean, they are in the ocean, and get back into ocean. That is how a teacher tried to teach the student who had come to him. The student was very advanced student and came to the teacher. The teacher in that particular case happened to be his father. So he approached the father and, "Dad, please teach me about the knowledge of God. I want to know God. Please teach me about it." And now the teacher was very skilled in this art of teaching. All teaching is taking the student from what the student already knows to what the student does not know. A passage is to be provided from what the student knows to what the student wants to know. So now the connection has to be found out between what we already know and what is God. So this teacher starts telling यतो वा इमानि भूतानि जायन्ते. दिस कम्स इन तैत्तिरीय उपनिषद. यतो वा इमानि भूतानि जायन्ते ये न जातानि जीवन्ति यत् प्रयन्त्यभिसंविशन्ति तद्ब्रह्म तद्विजिज्ञासस्व. From where all these beings that you see in this world, they originate. Now I can connect to it. I see the things coming up here. Babies are born. Yes, I see everything has a birth here. Like the chair is born from the wood. So I see it is the chair taking a shape from the wood. Things, they are born. They come up like the waves. They have their origin. And where from that origin is? Think of that. Yena jatani jivanti. Where they derive their sustenance from. Where they dwell. That is. And then where they subside. Everything here goes away too. It is always only a passing show, like a wave. A baby is born, slowly grows, and then the decline starts, like the wave reaching its crest. Then it starts slowly falling down, and like that a person goes up, starts going down, and merges in the ocean. That reality dies. So it is, that is how he connected that, yes, so think of that source of all this. And that source is permanent. It does not come or go like the waves. So that is what you want to know. That is God. One of our Swamis, he was in fact my predecessor here, a very highly revered and loving Swami, Sarvagatananji. He used to tell about God as the ground of our dwelling. G-O-D, ground of our dwelling. So we all dwell in God. And we live in God. We derive sustenance from God. And we dissolve in God. That is, we need to know that. So, this is how the teaching is given, that they know that you are not loving something else, but your source. Like you love your parents, my father, my mother, they have given birth to me, they have given sustenance to me, but think of that father and mother, who is beyond this appearance, the ocean, for the waves. So the God, who is our true father, true mother, true brother, true sustainer of everything, that is the, therefore, how much love should be directed more towards the real originator, a real father, real mother, and real source. The earthly parents, as we had discussed it a few times, they are the instruments in the hands of this Almighty God that generated body for you. Their role was only that they were not conscientiously making you. They were doing something else, and that also they were kind of forced to do. And that made this body for you. Nothing more than that. It is their role is therefore not at a conscious level at all. Who made you? God really made you. So, think of that. You are from God. You are in God. You dissolve in God. That reality of yours never, never vanishes. So, how much love is to be felt there? And one starts feeling that kind of love more and more. And as our love grows, we can see, you know, that is how St. John of Cross says that we live where our love is. That is where we live. Even if you are at some different place, not physically near your beloved, you keep on thinking about your beloved, because that is your love. Like the person in mad love with football. Wherever that person may go, keep on thinking about football. Even if that person is sitting in the Bhagavad Gita class, will be thinking, hey, who is winning and who is losing and all that. Because that is the love of that person. So, whatever may be the physical state that person is living, where is that person living, Charles? In football. So, because that is the love. So, if a person loves God, where that person will live, Maraya? In God, exactly. So, that person will live in God. Because where we have our love, there we live. So, that is why Lord is telling direct love towards the reality. Don't run after the illusory things. It is run after the reality. Be practical in life. Sometimes the people who turn their life devotionally, they are called by other people in the world as impractical. They are good, you know, they go to, they practice devotions, but they don't have practical sense. They don't have the practical sense. This comment you will hear very often. I have heard it many times. Now tell me, who is more practical? The one who is running after the shadows, or the one who is running after the reality? Who is more practical than the one who is going to the actual source of water or running after the mirage? Let us think of these things, friends. Very important. So, the idea of reality, you know, that let us make our life real. It is the connecting it not to the illusions but to the truth. And then what will happen? Exactly similar what happens when a person devotes or loves God. The 14th verse, beautiful. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyantam cha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. Always praising me, striving with austere vows, and bowing down to me with devotion, always steadfast, they worship me. Yeah, because of the love, this happens automatically. Like a man mad in love with a woman. Always is praising the woman. Oh, how nice is she, how beautiful is her nose, and her eyes are so nice, so full of splendor, and I cannot really describe her beautiful smile. Keeps on praising her endlessly. Why? Because the love makes those things appear beautiful. Let the love go away and the things will be different. All the sense of beauty, adoration and all will be gone. Instead of praises, a lot of blame will be heaped on that person. But think of this. So if a person starts loving God, then instead of singing the praise of this person or that person, will start automatically singing the praises of the Lord. It is satatam kirtayanto mam. Satatam. The love for this person or that person is temporary. It is temporary. It is As somebody was describing that the other day, that in a TV show, that the shelf life, common shelf life of love in married couples, common shelf life is a few years, that's all, a couple of years, if they are fortunate. So it is, that is the shelf life. It is the commercial terms they use. It is because that is how, you know, the liking, disliking there is after all kind of need based, and the mind keeps on wavering. It is like how long will you be able to love a candy? You eat one, okay, nice, you love it. Second, maybe is the another piece for a little while. Then you say, enough, no, I don't want it anymore. The love doesn't stick there for too long. And similarly with anything in the world, that you love for a little while, and then it wanes away. But with God, satatam, all the time, because it never goes away. The devotion has this special characteristic that was described, I was telling earlier about, because it is towards the true source of love. It will always be there. You will not have these ups and downs that you see in the worldly love, that in devotion. It is always, the devotion is steadfast there. So the person always and untiringly keeps on praising the Lord, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha, and always strive therefore to do the devotional acts. Never feels tired, never feels, oh, I have been doing this devotion and such things for 2 years now, I am feeling tired now, enough. No, that person continues the efforts. Steadfast efforts are continued by this person if that person really is hooked to it and does not waver or becomes, I should say, less intense in these practices. Keeps on performing them. Yatantascha dhravrataha. They keep on steadfastly doing those practices. Like once you know that you are in the right direction, then you steadfastly keep on driving. So you steadfastly keep on moving in this path. You know that the path is long. So you do not, you are not fool to expect quick results. Suppose you are driving from here to say some Attleboro, maybe 15-20 minutes you will go. But suppose you have to drive to from here to California, you do not think that, oh, 15 minutes, even now I don't see the border of California, what is this? Wait, brother. Okay, you driving California in a car that goes around 60-65 miles an hour, you will require many days to get to California. It is not that you will immediately get there in 15 minutes. So keep on driving in the right direction. Don't get waylaid, don't get disheartened. Don't relax too much. Yes, you as you go, you will require rest at night. Yes, go and stop, take rest, go in a motel, and then you stay there. Next morning you start again. So, like that, a devotee keeps on the devotion steadily, and thus namasyantascha mam bhaktya, devotionally keeps on saluting, praying. Because of devotion, because of love, all this starts happening. Nitya yukta, always connected to God. Therefore, The mind is always there, that connection is never lost. The person may be doing all other activities. It is not that the person gives up the job or gives up other so-called secular activities. There is no secular activity for that person. All the activities are filled inside. The underlying feeling is that of this devotion now. External shape is that of the secular activity. Some may be a teacher, somebody may have some other business, somebody may be working in the government. Fine, you know, somebody is running a bank. Excellent. Continue with all these works. But, well, those works become then the outer shape. Inside, the striving is for God going on. So, it is that becomes the life of such person. And then there is a big variety that will be discussed. Not that that variety comes with the in the mind of Arjuna, there must be this question coming up. So, should I do this or and what should I be doing? Or should everybody do the same thing? Not necessarily. There is a difference in constitution. The external shapes of this devotion will vary depending on the constitutional element associated with it. Like the colors and the shapes and the sizes of the dresses that we put on vary according to the constitutional requirement, the likes, dislikes, the work that we need to do and so forth. So, we shall try to discuss that in next Friday's class. Now the time is almost over. Any questions? So good, today you don't have any questions, so we shall conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistaraihi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.
After the Sunday service talk about Sri Ramakrishna and the world, there is an important music concert also. So please try to come this Sunday.